Pray for Monday and Lawrence as they're working Carrickduff. I grew up in Carrickduff, still live there, as you know. And it was a mainly Protestant area. It's become very Catholic in the last few years. So pray for them as they do work there in Carrickduff Hall as they seek to work with the young people. Just for a few minutes, now I know the time's nearly gone. I have only 5 points to speak on, and I'm taking 10 minutes on each of them, so it'll be okay. No, just for a few minutes, if you just turn with me, please, to Luke and chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And as I was telling Colin in the back room what I was speaking on, he says, you're in heavy stuff tonight. It's a heavy passage. I'm only going to take 5 very simple points very quickly out of it. And I can sympathise with Richard this morning. You heard of the two Ronnies, you're the two Richards today. But anyway, I can sympathise with him. He said that on his message, Morris spoke on it and his heart sank. Well, I had this message prepared months ago, before Dennis even asked me. This was in my mind, and this is what I was going to speak on. And then Everett got up a couple of weeks ago or a month ago and spoke on exactly the same passage. And I've tried to change it over and over again, and I can't. It's the message I have for you and that God has given me for us tonight, and that's it. So you heard it a month ago, and you're going to hear it again. But I'm going to go very simply on it. So Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would sendest him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So 5 simple points out of this passage. I'll be 5 minutes. So 5 points, 5 minutes. I might not be a minute each point, but we'll see how we get on. Point one, death is certain. As you read this passage, there's one thing's clear. Death is certain, and death can come and will come to us all. Whether rich or poor, death will come. Sometimes it's unexpected. Sometimes it's expected. Sometimes it's just very sudden. Just 2 weeks ago, there was a man in our yard, and as he drove out in his van, he put his hand up and waved at me, went about his business. On Monday morning, I was talking to somebody who works along with him. He says, do you know that Andy died on Sunday? And that man waved at me as he drove out of the yard that day, and yet on Sunday, he suffered a massive heart attack, and he died. And so death is certain for us all. And what if tonight you die, and your soul has passed from life unto death? Well then, where will you be? Point number two, we read from this passage, and we learn from it. Hell is real. I don't claim to be a theologian, but I'm just going to put some simple points that I can see from this passage. Because death is certain, and death will come to us all, there has to be a destination afterwards. Some people don't believe that when you die, anything happens. They believe you die, that's it, you're buried, and that's it. Well, I don't, and we here as a church don't. We believe in 2 destinations. The first one we're going to look at is hell. And we see in this passage that the rich man was in hell. Let me just make it clear. This passage says the rich man was in hell. But that doesn't mean if you're rich, you're going to hell. Money or social status or whatever you have has nothing to do with going to heaven or to hell. And you see, as you read down this passage, the rich man tells us that he knows why he is in torments. And you see, you can ask that. Well, look at the passage. He says, send Lazarus that he may testify unto my brothers, lest they come into this place of torment. You see, he knew why he was there. Wouldn't it have been an awful thing tonight if you left here and you were placed into eternal torment over something you weren't aware that was going to happen? Wouldn't it be awful if you went out of here tonight and you were plunged into eternity and you're plunged into hell, and you had the thought of this meeting when I was told that I had a way out of coming here, and you didn't take it. If you were sinking in the ocean, and someone threw you a rope, would you just turn around and say, it's okay, I'm all right, I'll just drown here, forget about it? No, you would take it. You see, in this story, it uses the word repent. And you see, repentance is not just saying sorry. Repentance is making a change. And tonight, if you're here and you haven't had your sins forgiven, well, then you need to repent. There's no good just saying sorry for your sins and then going on sinning. You need to repent and you need to make a change in your life. And you say, Richard, but you don't know what I have done. You don't know the bad things that I've done, the sins that I've committed. You don't know the company that I keep. You don't understand what it's like to be addicted to drink or addicted to cigarettes, or you don't understand the foul language that I use. Well, I don't need to know about it, because God knows all about it. And the better thing is this: God not only knows about them, but he made a way for them to be forgiven when he sent his son to die on the cross, to shed his blood at Calvary, and have our sins forgiven. God simply asks us to trust his son as our savior, and we will have our sins forgiven. You see, hell is a real place. It's eternal torment. And we read how the rich man asked Lazarus to dip his finger in water to cool his tongue. And I remember one day standing talking to a fella, and was witnessing and talking to him and talking about getting saved. And this is what he said to me. He said, sure, if I go to hell, what does it matter? He said, because at least I'll be warm. And I said to him, no, I don't think you understand what you're saying. He said, sure, it doesn't matter, I'll be warm. Well, you see, hell, in my opinion, won't be warm, or it's not a heat like we can imagine. It will be eternal torment forever. But the good news we learn from this passage as we move on is this, that heaven is real. You see, hell is real, but heaven is real. And we learn in this passage that Lazarus is in heaven. And again, let me make this clear. Just because the rich man wasn't in hell because he was rich, Lazarus didn't get into heaven because he was poor. Heaven and hell doesn't matter about rich or poor, or famous or not famous, or known or not known. Heaven and hell is based on having your sins forgiven and not having your sins forgiven. You see, I think I said this before. I was at a funeral about a year ago, and the woman had died. And the minister said this. He said, you know, this woman wasn't a churchgoer. He said, she didn't pretend to be a churchgoer. But he says, here's what you had. She was good in her community. He said, she was friendly with her neighbors. She looked after her family. She cared about everybody around her. And because of her good works, that'll guarantee her a place in heaven. Well, I can tell you here tonight, that's nonsense. And I'm not afraid to say that that is nonsense, because here's what the Bible tells me in John 3:3. It says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the door into heaven. As Richard said this morning, how awful would it be if you stood and touched the door of heaven and missed it? And so that leads us on to the fourth point. There's a warning. You see, this passage tells us that the rich man wanted his brothers to be warned. He said, Send them that warn my brothers so they won't come into this place of torment. And we read that the rich man gets a reply, well, they have Moses and the prophets. And you say, well, we don't have Moses and the prophets nowadays. But here's what we have. We have faithful gospel preachers. We have faithful Sunday school teachers. We have faithful people teaching children week on week. What about all those Sunday school classes you went to? What about the children's meetings? What about the godly parents and grandparents? The youth clubs, the verses you see out and about, all this warning that you need to be saved. How many more warnings are you going to need before you realize it's time to do something about your sin? In this very church, over the last couple of years, what about the sudden warnings we have had? What about Stephen Curry sat at that organ on a Sunday night and walked out and never saw Monday morning? What about Bertie sat here, walked out again on a Sunday night and never saw Monday morning? But praise the Lord, they were both saved. Both had their sins forgiven. And so I'm going to ask you, what about the seat that you're sitting in tonight? What if you leave that seat, walk out through that door, go home, go about your work, go about your business, whatever, and you go to bed and you don't wake up to see Monday morning? What will you do then if you leave here tonight not saved? You can't go into eternity and say, well, you weren't warned, because you have been warned. And you may sit here week on week, or wherever you go, maybe you hear the gospel week on week. Maybe you have a work colleague tells you about their salvation. Well, you can't say that you haven't been warned. And so as I come to the final point, what about the decision tonight? As we come to a close, I'm not going to make any apology for speaking directly tonight about heaven or about hell. I don't apologize for speaking about hell. Some people shy away from it. I'll not shy away from it. And I'm not here to scare you, but I'm here to show you that life can be short. That we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed to see you in the next 5 minutes. And so before we leave here tonight, we have two choices. We either accept the Savior or we reject him. And I pray, as I have prayed for this meeting coming up, that before you leave here tonight, you will accept Christ as your own and personal Savior. And as you've heard already in this testimony, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to come into your life and to save you. Don't leave here tonight not saved. Don't leave here tonight rejecting the warning, because you now know the warning and you've heard the warning so often before. If you leave here not saved, hell is the place of your destiny. Let me just finish with a chorus of a gospel hymn, one of my most favourite hymns. I remember singing it in the gospel hall as we grew up. And here's what it says. O turn while the Saviour in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light, for how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Wouldn't it be a sad thing tonight if you left here and missed the deadline? Missed the deadline of to get things right with Christ. And so I pray as we close that you'll simply accept Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Saviour. You'll realise that he died on the cross to save us from our sins, and make the decision today that you will be saved.